But you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Federal prosecutors will not file civil rights charges against a New York City cop involved in the chokehold death of a man in 2014. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The African-American man, Eric Garner, died after telling the cop that he was unable to breathe. It was caught on video that went viral. U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Richard Donahue, says they were unable to prove what the officer, Daniel Pantaleo's, intent was when he grabbed Garner in that chokehold on a street corner on Staten Island.
Even if we could prove that Officer Pantaleo's hold of Mr. Garner constituted unreasonable force, we would still have to prove, beyond a reasonable doubt, that Officer Pantaleo acted willfully in violation of law.
Previously, Garner's death was ruled a homicide, but a grand jury decided not to charge the officer.
Today marks 50 years since the Apollo 11 launch. It's being celebrated at the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google are testifying before a House Judiciary Antitrust Subcommittee today. Now, although today's hearing will mainly deal with antitrust investigations, there's still a lot of questions surrounding these companies, including Facebook. Margaret O'Mara is a professor of history. She also writes in the tech industry, and I had a chance to chat with her about Facebook and how things really started and when they started really going sideways for Facebook.
People did think Silicon Valley was going to change the world, that there was an app for that, you know, that technology could be the fix for the things that we saw were wrong. You know, Washington was dysfunctional. Well, let's get some, you know, better technological know-how in there and let's fix these things. E-government, you know, all that kind of stuff. And now the mood is very different. But that optimism that, you know, that's something that really is the spirit behind Facebook, behind Google, behind so many of these companies, this belief that really good technology can affect broad-based social change. And I talked to a lot of people interviewed in the course of this book. And when I talked to people who were there at the beginning of, you know, laying the ground rules for the Internet in the 1990s, when the Internet's first, you know, the dot-com era, it's first commercializing, and they had successfully made the case to lawmakers ranging from Bill Clinton and Al Gore to Newt Gingrich that, hey, we should regulate ourselves. We're a new, young industry. You shouldn't restrict free speech. You shouldn't hold us harmless for what people do on our platform.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Teachable Moments in Business here at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce radio station. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. It's Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. It's hot outside. Yesterday, the last couple of days were pretty nice, but here on Tuesday it's getting pretty hot. In fact, my car said it was 91 degrees, and I think it's going to be hot again for the next couple of days. If I have a chance, I'll take a look at the weather report. But stay inside so you don't get heat stroke. Today I wanted to talk about communication skills, and I came across a couple articles that I thought might be of interest to you. So in the event that I don't have a guest to interview, I like to do some homework and come up with a topic that might be beneficial for everyone who might be listening. Keep in mind that I can't be all things to all people. There are some things that you're going to hear me say that you already know. There are some things that you didn't realize, and those things maybe are something you have to work on. Or maybe you're functioning in a way that goes against some of the suggestions that I'm going to make here, in which case you might change your way of doing business. But this information is appropriate for anyone, whether you own a business, you work in a business, you don't have a business. There are all kinds of ways that you can utilize this information. But communication, obviously, is everything. So I am going to talk about different styles of communication, as well as tips to get people to listen to you, and some other things I'll touch on here. But before you consider communicating with anybody, it's a good idea to have a sense of how to deal with the different folks that you're going to be coming in contact with. So some people, it could be an employee, it could be an employer, it could be a colleague, it could be a family member, it could be somebody who's interviewing you for a job. It doesn't make any difference. But do your homework. Have a sense of who you're speaking to and what your goals are in that communication. So one of the articles I found by Denise Lee talks about the fact that we are communication chameleons, and we have to select words and actually body language and communication styles that are appropriate for the people to whom we are speaking. And so in this article, it talks about four different styles, or if you want to call them scenarios, in communication. So I'd like to share this with you first. And then from there, we're going to go on and talk about your voice. Now, the four communication styles that were outlined in this article include authoritarian, if I get my words right, conciliatory, facilitatory, and promotional. So let's take a look at each one of these. Authoritarian speaker uses words that command a listener to perform a specific action or task. And this style works only if you have respect for and leverage with the other people or over the people that you're working with. Despite the what you might consider to be a negative connotation, being an authoritarian has useful applications. So you use that style when you have specific tasks that have to be completed within perhaps a certain time frame, and or perhaps when their discipline is necessary. So there's an authoritarian style that and position that you take on with somebody. Now, how you actually implement that, that's something you're going to have to do some more research on, but there are four styles that were brought up in this article. The second one is conciliatory, and this is in this situation, you as a presenter or a speaker may have exhausted all the possible ways of communicating to somebody, and you're at a point where there may have to be some trade-offs or some, you know, taking into consideration a win-win approach, in which case you might say, for example, if you can create this report by Friday, I'll let you leave the office early. So it's you give one and you get one. So it's almost sometimes that it's a good idea to present the when you're presenting the bad, you know, also submit or give to the other person the positive. So it becomes a win-win in both cases. The facilitatory, I have trouble repeating that word, It's a communication that empowers listeners by giving them tools and resources to be autonomous and allowing them to think. One example might be, so-and-so solved a similar issue recently. Why don't you give that person a call and find out how they did it? And this style does often work with a seasoned employees when there are non-chaotic environments. So this way you're not demanding something of that individual as an authoritarian person, but one that's saying, here's some ideas for you and let me know how this works for you. And then there's the promotional style. And this style is used to promote promote positivity, efficiency, and productivity in the work environment. I know when I teach my sales classes, sometimes we'll say to someone who's a customer or a prospect, unlock the other guys, this is what we do. So that's a way of promoting without naming names or being nasty toward the competitor. So you wouldn't use a promotional approach in a situation where there's a complaint and say, well, this is how we treat people. That you would not do. So you make sure your communication style is effective. And I think the longer that you're, the older you get perhaps, or the longer you're in a certain position of authority or in management, you begin to sense the best way to deal with certain individuals. And you can, I think there's a trial and error, but once you develop that technique, use it, and it probably will help you to be successful. So anyway, and then ask for feedback from other people. Maybe you want to learn how to rephrase. But I think going back to what I said, you have to know who you're talking to, and you have to have goals, and you have to have goals for everything you do. So whether you're in marketing or sales or customer relationship management, what exactly do you want to accomplish? And you want to think about that before you actually launch into any kind of a conversation with somebody. So there you go with that. Now, here's another thing. This article was written, the first article, by the way, was written by Denise Lee. And I don't know where I found the article, but that was the author of that information. The second article I found was written by Larry Nichols. I want to make sure that I give credit to the people that wrote this material, although I can't tell you where I got it or where that person writes. Maybe I should, but nonetheless. Here are some tips to enhance your vocal appeal and to make marketing magic, as he says in his article. So if you use these tips, it should be able to move not only your marketing, but your selling and your relationships along very nicely to what you might consider to be the next level. So here we go. Tip number one, mimic the person to whom you're speaking. Now, in my sales class, we talk about matching, mirroring, and pacing. And that's a phrase that you may have heard a number of times if you've ever counseled with me. And I've counseled literally thousands of people. I've taught many, many classes at Raritan Valley Community College actually, I've been teaching there since 2001, if you can believe that. And I started when I was really young, of course. When it comes to matching, mirroring, and pacing, you want to develop a relationship with the other person and create a bond with them. And to do that, you pay attention to the individual. If they're using certain terminology, use it back to them. Don't present them with new words and terminology that they don't relate to. When it comes to your speed of speaking, I'll tell you, I went to a doctor's office today for a checkup, and the nurse that came in did her preliminary questioning, and she said something to me. I said, I don't listen that fast. She said, well, I have a habit of talking fast. She didn't. She has to slow down. Know who you're speaking to. Maybe if I was a young person like she is, maybe I would have heard it better. I don't know. But I said to her, I don't listen that fast. And then she apologized. So if you're giving instructions to someone, make sure that the speed of delivery of that information is going to be appropriate for the individual. And it will, and in the same process, relate the kind of information that was important, because what you were saying was important. I just didn't listen fast enough. So it's pacing. It's also matching terminology. But it's also watching the body language. So if you're dealing with someone who is very proper and prim and proper and very upright and straight upright and not casual. Do you want to be the casual person? You would need to be like they are. Watch them. In fact, years ago, I saw a sales presentation whereby two people were in a role play, and one person was the salesperson, the other was the customer. And what was interesting is when the customer crossed his arms, so did the salesperson cross her arms. When the customer scratched his head, the salesman scratched his head, and so on. And I don't think that the customer, person playing the role of the customer, really realized it. But the whole process, logic behind a presentation like this is to show that the person to whom you're speaking doesn't realize that you're matching, mirroring, and pacing them. So that can help to really present, or create a better relationship with the other person. So watch how you talk to them also. So, and I found a little note here. If your prospect is a low talker, a low voice, then you lower your voice as well. So that's important. Here's the second one. And it says, so number two was to matching, mirroring, and pacing. Number two was to smile. And what's interesting about smile is that smiling will actually elevate your voice. And I learned this in taking voice lessons. So if I'm singing, it'll make it easier by smiling. It'll make it easier for me to hit those higher notes. And the same thing can occur when you're speaking, that you smile. In fact, I've heard it said that if you have a team of people calling customers or prospects on the telephone, put a mirror next to them and let them see, observe whether or not they're actually smiling. Because if they smile, I think the smile can be heard over that telephone. So a smile, and it makes the marketing call much more appealing. And the voice and the delivery information will be really, really more effective. I think if somebody's sad or unhappy or not pleased with a call, and you can hear that in their voice. So smiling is really, really important. Another one is to assume the position when sitting with a posture that creates a positive, strong impact that will surely come through in your voice. So if you're in negotiation, I think you have to look deliberate in the way you're sitting with somebody. Very important. And here's another thing. This is kind of a sidebar, which I do sidebars every so often. I was in a negotiation years ago with my partner, and he and I were in a conversation with another person, and we knew that there would be some oppositional situation going on there. So we agreed to meet in a certain room. And we positioned our backs to the windows, probably sort of like I am right here. We were positioned against the window. So that put us in more control in that room because he had to look at us and focus on us, but there was probably the glare around our bodies. So that's a little sidebar. You can try that if you'd like. But make sure you're sitting in the right posture for the situation that you're at hand. Another thing you can do, which I'm doing it now, record your voice and how you sound. Right now, I know I'm talking in a low voice, which I should probably talk in a higher voice to make it sound better, and I smile, make it smile. So you might want to record yourself and listen to it to make sure that you're happy with the way you sound to the other person who might be to whom you might be speaking. Now, some people will even hire a voice coach to make sure their speaking comes across well. It becomes a very powerful tool and valuable tool for some people. In fact, if you like to sing, get a singing coach. That might help too. And here's another idea that I tell people, especially if they are uncomfortable giving an elevator speech or they're uncomfortable in standing up and speaking in front of people. Not only do I recommend that you sing, maybe take voice lessons, get in a chorus, but also get involved in community theater. I was in community theater for many years and was able to go on stage. And I'm not great at remembering lines. I'm better at ad-libbing, but I had to remember lines. But it forced me to project, and you get a sense of how you want your how you want to appear in front of that audience. So get into community theater, and you'll have some vocal coaching just from the director, I'm sure, if it's necessary, of course. Also, match your voice to your message. So if the note here said, if your business is hip and trendy, reflect that quality in your voice. So if you're marketing to a singles club, friendly and sexy would be a great match. So you get the idea. So match your voice to the message. So, for example, I have come from the pet industry, where I was the first woman to own a manufacturer's rep agency in the pet industry for 4 decades. And if I was talking about pets, well, pets and babies actually are the emotional touch points with people. So if I was talking to somebody that had a pet, or I was showing them a pet product that they might want to buy or sell, I could get real excited about this product because we know it hits emotional chord on people. Pets are, you know, that's an emotional thing. People, in fact, as I tell my students, people buy on emotion and they justify on logic. So match your voice to the message. Very important. Then here's another one, tip number 7, which is kind of a goes back to recording your voice. But listen to your own voicemail, and what do people hear? Do they hear you in a way that you want to be remembered? So go back and listen to your voice messages, and perhaps you need to redo it. Here's another one that I really never thought about very much. Drink water. Water soothes the vocal cords, and it makes the voice more appealing. Maybe I didn't drink enough today. Here's another thing. Drinking water actually hydrates the brain so that you can think more clearly before you speak. Oh, so if you're on one of those days, and you're speaking on one of those days where the words aren't coming out clearly or they're garbled, maybe you're not drinking enough water and your brain's just not clear enough. Interesting, huh? So drink it at room temperature. Here's a tip. This is room temperature. And it will refresh you and work toward your vocal benefit. That's tip number 8. Tip number 9, get up and walk. If you can go cordless, walk while you talk on the telephone. The energy from the movement will come through in your voice, and who doesn't need more energy? So that's a good idea. Besides, nowadays, people sitting at their desk are sitting there too long. So perhaps if you can get up and walk and talk, you get the exercise, and you're going to sound more energetic to the person on the other end. And then tip number 10 is think happy, sound happy. Get yourself in the happy mindset, and your voice will reflect that. And as we know, everyone loves to be around happy people. Leave your problems at home. It's very, very important. Now, if you're at home and you're speaking to your kids, you got to be careful. How you come across. If you have something on your mind that has nothing to do with the children, they hear everything, and they get the body. They see the body language for sure. But in business, I remember years ago, I was a first sales rep working for Xerox in the state of New Jersey, and first woman. And in fact, that's a whole other story. But at any rate, as to how I got into that position. But one day I was walking down the hallway, and my sales manager stopped me, and he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "You have a long face," and he said, "You have to look, you know, happy, happier." Well, I was probably thinking something, but here he noticed my body language. I wasn't even talking, and he noticed my body language was probably negative because I was upset or concerned about something at the time. So it's amazing how people can read you. They can read you. Your body language, and of course they read into what they hear and how you deliver your information. So there's your thoughts for now on delivering your verbal message. So I'm going to get into listening skills, but before we do that, I'm going to take a look at. We have a bunch of sponsors that we're going to run their information. So please hang in there. I have 4 of them.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I own Rustmore Mentoring Group, which is a division of Califon Connection, LLC. Many of you don't realize that when you have an LLC, you can also have DBAs or doing business as under other business names. So I have Rustmore Mentoring Group. I also have Animal Brands, which is my company that caters to people in the pet industry. We do consulting for people that are starting a business or perhaps they're already in it in the pet industry and they're struggling and they have questions. And I work with manufacturers, distributors, retailers, and upcoming entrepreneurs. Rustmore Mentoring Group is the name I'm here under, and I also do teaching, consulting, and speaking. I do a lot of teaching at Raritan Valley Community College, and I speak it at four different networking groups around the state and also the chamber. So I've done classes on trade show marketing and what I call Harvard on the Highway, which is a whole series of tips that really come from experience that I have in working with literally thousands of business owners. And I do one on how to attract and keep good employees. I do marketing classes and marketing topics in counseling, selling skills. In fact, what's interesting is for years, and it's probably still true, people have said that marketers are not good salespeople and vice versa. So I'm able to cross over between marketing and selling depending upon the individual circumstances. But it's amazing, for example, somebody will say, oh, that their marketing sucks. And after hearing them speak about what they do, I get the sense that maybe that's their selling skills that need help. And unfortunately, whether it comes to marketing or selling, very few people have had any training. And with selling, a lot of people don't even like to sell, and yet they want to start a business. And if you don't sell, you're not going to put food on the table. So if you have a chance to either come for counseling or take classes on marketing and selling skills, you have to do it, because today you have to be good at those things. And even if you have employees, you're at the top of the heap. I mean, you're at the top of the pinnacle of that business. And if you don't have those skills and expect other people to have them, but they haven't been trained, somebody's got to train them, and you have to figure out who's going to do that. So very important. Anyway, the third business is Rustmore Marine. We sell floating docks to people who have waterfront property. These are modular floating dock systems. In many cases, they can stay in the water year-round. We have a property on a lake in Morris County, And I go around on my kayak, and all the wooden docks are falling apart after a couple of years. They look awful. But our plastic floating docks look terrific year after year. So if you or you know somebody who has waterfront property, let me know, and we'll give you a hand on that. So I was looking at the weather right now, and it says it's 93 degrees outside. And tonight it may go down to about 72. Tomorrow is 94 degrees, and then Thursday, 85 degrees. But we're looking at rain on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday is going to get real hot again, 94. And Saturday's a scorcher at 98 degrees, so that's not too good. So I'm trying to think about summer here. So today, Tuesday, July 16th, is partly cloudy. Lows overnight in the low 70s. Tonight, some clouds. And then what happens on Wednesday for the expanded weather forecast, partly to mostly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms on Wednesday and thunderstorms through the evening. And with a chance of rain is 80% Wednesday night. How about Thursday? There's a chance of 50% of rain on Thursday. So we're looking at a couple of days. So I hope you had a couple of good days before today. But it is getting hot out there. So much for the weather. Okay. So I want to go on to the next article that I found that I thought would be interesting for you to hear. I don't know who wrote this. So you want to get clients and prospects to listen to you. And some people think they have to be a better talker, maybe you have to be a better talker, but you also have to be a listener. And so there's a combination of skills that you have to develop. So listening is very powerful. In fact, some years ago at Raritan Valley Community College, there was a speaker whose name escapes me. Wiley was his last name, I think. His last name, Wiley. Anyway, he said a couple things that always stuck with me. One of them is, listen until it hurts. People have and I'm going to mention it here, I think, but people have a tendency to step on the other person's lines before they have a chance to finish what they wanted to say. You got to let people finish the message before you step in. And he also talked about the listening skills applying to the 80-20 rule. If you're familiar with the 80-20 rule, it's the Pareto principle. Apparently, Mr. Pareto in Italy back, I think it's the late 1800s or early 1900s, discovered that 80% of the land or 80% of the money or 80% of the business, whatever, was owned by 20% of the people. So there was this evolution of the concept of the 80-20 rule, which I don't subscribe to often when it applies to certain business strategies, but if we're listening, it's fine. So in other words, you talk 20% of the time and you listen 80%. So keep that in mind. So anyway, we want people to listen. We have to listen to others when they're speaking, but we also want them to listen to us. And there's probably times that you've thought that people are not listening to you, and perhaps it's because you're not talking about something that they want to know about. So this goes back to what I talked about in the very beginning of today's program. You have to do your homework. Know who you're talking to. Know the terminology or know the strategies or the nature of who they are and what they do so that you can speak meaningfully. I mean, I have belonged to many networking organizations, and there was one guy that I used to really run into or try to avoid at some of the networking meetings that I would attend, and he would start telling me about his business, about his family, and it's like I couldn't get away, and I was not interested in what he had to say. Had he asked me a few questions about what I do, he probably could have connected to my interests and presented information that would have been beneficial for me to hear. So when somebody's not listening, it's really kind of a waste of time, and it makes you feel bad too. So now you have to reciprocate with somebody. Listen to them, but say something that they'll listen to you. Also, as I said here, and as mentioned, gather crucial information. Imagine you're in a conversation where the other person is speaking about things that you just don't care about. Not only are you not listening to them, you're actively trying to come up with an excuse to get out of that conversation as quickly as you can. This is the kind of thing I talk about in my class on networking skills. Like, Now, you can network online, but when I do a networking class, it's the one-on-one. It's going to networking events where there's a Chamber of Commerce. I talked to somebody today who's been thinking about attending a BNI meeting, and this is really funny. The fellow that I spoke to this morning is a job seeker, and I suggested that he's from Pennsylvania. I suggested that he go to some networking events in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. He said, well, what would I do when I go there? I mean, this... There's so much you can do when you're networking. First of all, you go to learn something. And I suggested that he find out who the speakers are and learn from whatever the speakers are talking about. You find out about the people in the event. Help people. If they have certain issues or concerns or they need advice on something, offer that or give them a referral to someone. Then you can tell people what you do, and then maybe you'll do business with somebody in the room. But what happens is there are people will go to a meeting the first time. They don't get any business opportunities on that first visit, and they don't go back. It takes a good 6 months or more for somebody to get to know you, to trust you, to either use your services or to refer you on to someone else. So knowing who you're speaking to and finding out whether or not these are the kinds of people you need to know in order to get word of mouth is very important. So that's kind of like a little bit of a sidebar here. So here, imagine being in a conversation about a topic that you are passionate about. You feel completely connected to that person as they seem to be reading your mind. In that situation, you will be highly engaged and open to what they have to say. No one wants to be the person in a scenario where the other person can't run away fast enough. The way to avoid being that person is to be better listener. So when you use listening skills, again, it's the 80-20 rule, you learn about the other person, your client, your prospect, your employees, and you find out what they care about, and you can tailor your conversation to be relevant to them. Now, it's important that you have a list of questions up here that you can ask people to kind of bring out information about themselves or about what their interests might be. If you are at a loss as to questions to ask, send me an email, vmorgan, V-M-O-R-G-A-N, at russmore, russmore.com, and I'll send you a list of questions. You know, there's two kinds of questions. There are open-ended questions and there are closed-ended questions. And it's amazing to me how many times I have students who are really not clear on which is which. And so I may go in a classroom environment, I'll go around the room and I'll say, I want you to ask an open-ended question about your business. And they'll ask a closed-ended question inadvertently. They're not clear on that. But an open-ended question gets people to say what's on their minds. If you ask a closed-ended question, it could either lead to a response that would be a this or that or a yes or no response. You're not going to get enough information to use to further that conversation. It could be a dead end. So let's say, for example, you meet somebody at a networking event and you say to them, have you been to this event before? And they say no. Well, then what are you going to say next? Suppose you say to them, what do you think about this organization? Now you find out what's on their minds. Or how does this compare to other meetings that you've been to? That opens up the door to conversation. And this is a way to get people to listen. So here are three tips for effective listening that the author has pulled together, and these will help you in that verbal exchange. So number one is repeat what you've heard. So repeat back or summarize what the other person has just said. Now you don't have to sound like a puppet or a parrot, but an example here is, John, I heard that you may have many big expenses coming up and you're strapped for cash right now. So I don't know if you want to talk about money with somebody, but when you do this, it shows the other person that you were paying attention. So let's say somebody makes a statement about a problem that they're having. You can say, oh, I understand this could be an issue for you. I know somebody that might be able to help you out with this. I'd like to refer you to that person. Would you like to know more? That might be a way to repeat what they said. Or let's say somebody says that their high school student has been working hard and now they have a chance to go to their college of choice. You can say, wow, so they're senior now, and they're going to get to go to that college that they've had their sights set on. That's wonderful. This way you're repeating what they said, and it keeps the conversation going. Another tip here is to take notes. Taking notes is a way to actively listen to another person and to remember what they said. Sometimes you can take notes right in front of people, but when I go to a networking event or I'm in a meeting, I will be sure to jot down some notes at the conclusion of our conversation after we depart from one another. Take notes. But if you were to I teach trade show marketing. If you were at a trade show, you might want to take notes while you're speaking to someone who has come into your booth, because by taking notes, they know that you're serious about the conversation and you're seriously interested in them. So take notes, and then if the discussion goes around to comes around to where you're going to have a meeting with someone, make sure that you make a note on as to when that meeting is going to be. And by the way, as a sidebar, if you're ever in a situation where somebody has agreed to meet with you, it's your job to immediately set the date and time. Never leave a conversation where you might be inclined to say, well, if you're interested, give me a call, or I'll give you a call next week. That's so vague. Be specific. I'd like to call you next week, either on Tuesday or Thursday. Which day would be better for you? Or what time of the day would be good? Could it be morning in the afternoon? So always nail down the exact time that you're going to be communicating with the person. Always set the next engagement before you leave that conversation. And you can be more, you know, really prepared to do that if you're taking notes. And then ask follow-up questions is number three. When you ask questions, you show interest, and you're able to dive deeper into what your client is thinking and feeling, deepening your understanding of the situation or issue. So this is where I'm suggesting that you should have a list of questions. And I do have a list of open-ended questions. It runs for, I think, two or three pages. And you're more than welcome to get that list from me. You can send me an email or call. So the email, again, is vmorgan@russmore.com. It's russmore.com. Or better still, give me a phone call. My office number is 908-832-9544. I'll repeat it. It's 908-832-9544. So I'm ready. We want to hear from a few more of our sponsors before we conclude today's program. So bear with me here, and we're going to hear from four of our sponsors.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell has a message for everyone on Capitol Hill.
It's about time we lowered the temperature all across the board. All of us ought to contribute to a better level of discourse.
The Kentucky lawmaker's remarks as Democrats are introducing a resolution on the House floor to condemn President Trump's tweets about four freshman progressive congresswomen. The Senate Armed Services Committee begins a confirmation hearing for Acting Defense Secretary Mark Esper, who hopes to fill the post that has been vacant now for 7 months. Esper was asked about how he'd handle Iran.
I agree. We do not want war with Iraq, with Iran. We are not seeking war with Iran. We need to get back on the diplomatic channel.
Esper last appeared before the panel in 2017 when he was confirmed as the president's secretary of the Army. This is USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. The message that you just heard from about the chamber is Chris Phelan, who's the president of our group. And this chamber has a lot of different activities that go on all the time, that whereby you get to meet other people, you get to share information about your business, you get to help the community. And I really recommend that you get involved. There are three separate meeting groups in the regions throughout the county that you can attend, and here you have a chance to have some more one-on-one with other folks that who want to know more about you and the services that you offer. When it comes to marketing, you can be interviewed on this program, as well as many of the other hosts do interview guests who can talk about their business. Here on Teachable Moments, we talk not only about the business and how to contact the owner or the person who's representing the business, but we talk about tips on how to we talk about how they've been able to develop their business in terms of identifying their target audience, what makes them special, in terms of the competition. We all have competition. What are some of the takeaways that you can offer to people that they can apply to their own businesses? So I suggest that you take advantage, come in for an interview. If you have someone that you would like me to interview, please give me a call. I gave you my phone number, 908-832-9544. If there's a topic that you would like us to discuss on this program, please also let me know. We'll be happy to do that. The last thing I would like to share with you, since we're talking about talking, so often when you go to these networking events, you have to give an elevator speech. And quite often people are really reluctant to stand up and talk. And when they do, they don't know what to say. And they feel very awkward about it. So I'd like to give you a template that I recommend that you follow when somebody says, what do you do? Or what do you say when you stand up at a networking event? So it's about 5 or 6 steps and have a pencil handy so that you can write these down. So if you were at a traditional networking event, you could mention your name and the name of your company right up front, or you could wait and to mention a name a little further into the elevator speech, but most speeches run for about 30 seconds. And it is a good idea to mention your name maybe at the beginning and at the very end of that elevator speech. So the first step in number one, mention your name. Number two is the name of your company. Number three is to make a statement that references concerns that people might have, that your people that you're speaking to. Now, if you're talking to a diverse group of business owners, there very well may be a statement that you can make that would appeal to everybody on a general level, those who are sitting there. But make a statement of concern, and I'm going to give you an example. Then you go on to say what you do to help address those concerns. And this is the only time you really talk about yourself. And you might throw in there a credibility statement, which I'm going to show you. You might want to reference a degree that you have or the number of years that you've been doing what you do, or perhaps the fact that you've worked in a similar business arena. And then you say two words, which means. And the which means is what I call the keep your fork statement. It gets people to listen to the grand finale, which is the final step, and that's the benefit. Keep in mind that people buy what you do. They buy what they get. They don't buy what you do. They buy the benefit, the bottom line benefit. So I'm going to give you my elevator speech and see if I follow the five steps that I gave you. My name is Vicki Lynn Morgan. I own Rustmore Mentoring Group. Business owners today are quite concerned about the fact that they don't have deep pockets, they don't have a lot of money to market, and they don't frankly know who to market to because they haven't identified their target audience. So what I, as a certified guerrilla marketing coach, I first help people identify exactly who the target is that they want to go after. We recommend no more than 3 or 4 target audiences. We figure out who they are, where those people hang out, how we're going to reach them, and the message that we're going to send out to those people, which means they'll have a game plan to follow that will enable them to reach the target audience without spending a bundle of money. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, Rustmore Mentoring Group. There you go. I did the whole thing. And this is something you could come to me about because you can actually structure a brochure or even a pages on your website following those steps. It's amazing how it makes it so much easier when you have that template to follow. So I've given that to you pretty quickly, but I would like you to consider reaching out to me, and I will help you use that information to compose a message that's pertinent to your business to attracting people. So I want to thank you for coming to the program today, Teachable Moments in Business. This will be on the Facebook page on Teachable Moments in Business. And also, along with all of the other hosts, my programs are archived at the Chamber of Commerce website, the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce website. And please go there by date, and you can find programs. Listen to all my programs. So I have some really wonderful guests that have come through here. So, in fact, 2 weeks ago I had the folks from CASA, which is an agency that supports the court system when it comes to figuring out what to do with the children who need to homes, kids that are going to be fostered out to homes. It's a wonderful program. But things like that, I never knew a thing about that. So please share ideas with me. I would really appreciate it. My phone number, again, is 908-832-9544. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, Rossmore Mentoring Group. Thank you for listening to Teachable Moments in Business, and please come back next week. I'll be here. I'm not sure who my guest is, but I'll be here. Have a great week, great weekend, and signing off now.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As lawmakers on Capitol Hill are debating a resolution that would condemn President Trump's tweets about four freshman progressive congresswomen, House Minority Leader Republican from California Kevin McCarthy was asked if he believes the president's tweets were racist.
No, and I do not believe the Speaker of the House was racist last week either when those individuals on her side of the aisle who are claiming the president's racist, when they claim she was racist either.
As far as how the congressman will be voting on that resolution?
I will vote against this resolution if you're asking.
22 members of the MS-13 gang are facing new criminal indictments that detail brutal murders allegedly committed in Los Angeles. Los Angeles District Attorney Jackie Lacey says MS-13 sometimes targeted children.
Gang members beat and repeatedly stabbed a 16-year-old boy whose body was thrown over a cliff in the Angeles National Forest.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40... your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text FORCE to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text FORCE to 321321. That's F-O-R-C-E to 321321.
The head of Facebook's new digital currency division is trying to address lawmakers' concerns. Arizona Republican Senator Martha McSally says Facebook likes to talk a big game.
How do we know that this isn't going to change? And how do we know you're actually going to do that based on your track record of failing and violating and deceiving in the past?
A week of events to remember a huge first for humankind has begun. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the story.
Liftoff on Apollo 11.
As events began to mark 50 years since the historic first mission to the moon, the Apollo 11 astronaut Neil Armstrong's spacesuit went on display at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. for the first time in 13 years. And as it did, Vice President Mike Pence was on hand, saying of the mission,
"It was a contribution to the life of this nation, to the history of the world."
Armstrong died in 2012, but the surviving Apollo 11 crew members are taking part in anniversary events at the Kennedy Space Center all week.
USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Speaking at the White House today, President Trump says that Honduras and Guatemala are sending hardened criminals in migrant caravans that are traveling to the United States.
When you form a caravan, if a government is at all a government, they don't have to allow that caravan to come up. So if they're not going to play ball, that's okay with me. We're not going to play ball with them. We don't give them any more money. They've been ripping us off for years. We were giving them hundreds of millions of dollars like fools for years. And all they did is send us up. A lot of people caused a lot of problems, and a lot of the people in those caravans were criminals.
The president's comments there as the Trump administration announced plans to curb asylum claims. As students gear up to go back to school, families plan to spend more than ever on supplies. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
In a survey of over 7,600 consumers, the National Retail Federation reports those supplies ranging from pencils and backpacks to computers and dorm refrigerators is at an all-time high. Mark Matthews is with the National Retail Federation.
Consumers overall say they're going to spend about $1,673 on both back to school and back to college. That breaks out into spending for back to school of about $697 and for back to college about $977.
Total spending for families for K through 12 and for college combined is estimated at $80.7 billion.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and we're just getting started. It's just a few minutes after 4 o'clock. Today is the 16th of July, July 16th, 2019. And before I get started, they asked me to do a few of our paid commercials. So I'm going to get that out of the way, and then we're going to talk about some interesting subjects on real estate that I was able to dig up as talking points. First things first, let's...
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions